gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant.
Out of that tree.
Caw, 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 caw.
And never mind making bird talk at me. You come down right now.
What's a coconut, Edmund?
Pow! I'll pow you. You come down and go to school before you wake up Miss Ellen and Miss Hannah.
I will.
Now.
All right.
What's wrong? You've got no business up in those coconut trees. How did you learn to climb them anyhow?
It's easy. You just put your feet through this loop of rope.
Never mind. You go get ready for school.
Is she gone yet?
Who?
Mrs. Wakefield.
You have big ears, Christopher Vale.
I know. She came last night with Mr. Pomeroy, and she's leaving first thing this morning. I heard Mr. Morgan give the order for the car.
You ear too much for an 11-year-old monkey.
Car!
And don't distract me.
Is she gone yet?
I haven't seen her.
Then I'm going up the palm tree again.
Oh, no, you're not.
Let go, my thief. I mean, let go.
What's going on out here?
It's time for Chris to go to school, Anna.
It certainly is, Chris. Now get ready.
I want to see the lady, honey.
Who?
The American lady. Her name is Kate, and Mr. Pomeroy doesn't like her.
How do you know all that?
I heard. Oh, Chris.
You've been told not to play around the big house. If you do, you're going to be in trouble. Now go along.
I know something you don't know, honey.
What?
Francesca is home.
I don't know why you're trying to raise him, Anna.
Yes, you do. But what did he mean, Francesca is home?
I don't know.
I asked you last evening to tell her not to come.
She never called.
I'll have to go home and see her.
You want me to take Miss Ellen's key to her?
No, then she'd think something was wrong.
Why shouldn't Francesca come home?
Esmond, how long have you been working here?
You should know. You hired me, Anna, 3 years, since my high school. Then when I've saved, I'm going to teacher's college. That'll be next year.
Yes, of course. Then you wouldn't know.
No, I wouldn't. But what I do know about the things going on here... Wild horses wouldn't drag from him out. That's why I want to save up my money so I can go to college.
And you shall, Esmond. Don't get excited.
And I'm glad that nice Mrs. Wakefield is leaving here soon.
Not yet.
I thought she was leaving early this morning.
Miss Ellen wants her to stay.
But Mr. Pomeroy said...
Said what?
That the car would be around at 8 and that I was too...
Esmond, do finish your sentence.
I'm just mixed up, I guess.
You are not mixed up. What did Mr. Pomeroy say?
That I was to take her tea at 7:30 and see that she went to the car at 8.
Well, Mr. Pomeroy knows now she isn't leaving. You know, Miss Ellen still runs this house.
Yes.
And when she wants something badly enough, she usually gets her way.
I know.
I'd better go back to her now. Beautiful Jamaica day, Esmond.
But it's going to be hot. Hannah, I think I ought to tell you something.
All right, be quick.
When I took tea up to Mrs. Wakefield's room, she wasn't there.
She was probably taking a bath.
No, there wasn't anybody around. She dressed and gone out.
Are you sure?
Of course I'm sure. I thought she'd already left for Kingston.
Oh, no. That is odd. She might have gone for a walk.
Maybe. But I don't think that nice girl ought to be going around Glory Pond by herself. Do you, Anna?
No, I don't.
was a bird.
Was that you?
Yep. Want to hear it again? Caw!
Oh, that's great. Now, you'd fool me any time.
Who are you?
Chris.
Oh, do you live around here?
Yes. I know who you are.
Well, good. Who am I?
Mrs. Wakefield. You came from America to Jamaica, and you're going home this morning.
Oh, that's right. All but the last. I'm not going home this morning.
You're not.
Are you disappointed?
No. I saw you come down here to Glory Point, and I wanted to see you better before you left.
Well, here I am. Chris, do you go to school?
Yes, but there's no one to drive the truck yet, so I'm going to be late. I'm not supposed to be down here on the point.
Oh, well, then maybe you'd better go home. Where do you live?
With Hannah.
Oh, is she your mother?
Hannah? Oh, no. I never had any mother or father.
Well, tell me, where did you learn to make all these sounds like the birds?
I talked to them. Listen.
Marvelous.
They answer, too. But you can't hear it over the noise of the surf.
Well, why don't we take a walk together?
Okay. Then you could meet Francesca.
Who?
Francesca.
Christopher, what are you doing down there?
I've got to go.
Who's that?
That's Mr. Morgan. He'll whip me if he catches me here. Oh, bye.
Chris.
Chris.
Mrs. Wakefield, I didn't see you out here on the point.
I didn't think we'd met.
I'm Heinrich Morgan, supervisor here of the estate for Mr. Pomeroy. Everybody just calls me Dutch.
I see.
That boy ought to be on his way to school. He's a bad lot.
Oh, I didn't think so.
He takes watching.
Who is he?
He lives back up the road with Hannah. He shouldn't be around here. I'd like to give you some advice, Mrs. Wakefield.
How did you know my name?
Mr. Pomeroy told me.
Oh, of course.
I don't know how long you intend to stay.
As long as Miss Ellen wants me.
Miss Ellen?
Yes. She's been quite insistent.
Well, let me tell you something. It isn't wise to come out here on Glory Point alone.
Why not?
The rocks drop off pretty sharp on the east side, and the tide comes in pretty fast.
Yes. It's coming in now.
Yes. Yes, it is.
I know the sea, Dutch. I've sailed around this point many times with my husband. You must have known Tom Wakefield when he was here.
Yeah?
He came to Glory Hall several times.
Recently?
He's been dead for 3 years.
Well, I didn't know him.
Oh, that's odd. Because Mr. Pomeroy remembered him.
I work here, Mrs. Wakefield. I don't meet the guests.
Yes, the tide is rising.
I warned you.
All right, I'll move off the rocks. But you don't remember my husband, Tom, at all?
That's what I said.
Do you know anyone around here named Francesca?
Where did you hear about her?
Oh, I think she might have known my husband. Who is she?
She's Hannah's daughter.
Hannah's daughter? Well, then, Hannah must know something.
If I were you, Mrs. Wakefield, I wouldn't go around here asking questions.
But, Dutch, I came all the way down here. To ask questions.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On antiperspirant, proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal. If you take Tylenol instead of aspirin for headache, now you can get the exact same relief with Daytrill and get a dollar refund besides. Buy Daytrill in a 100 or 250 tablet size and Bristol-Myers will refund you $1. Send name, address, and Daytrill carton to Daytrill, Box 836, Farmingdale, New York, 11735, and get a dollar back. Offer good on one bottle only. Expires April 30th, 1976. So try Daytrill now and get a dollar back. Faces of Love features Morgan Fairchild as Kate Wakefield, Clement Fowler as Lewis Pomeroy, Bryna Rayburn as Ellen Pomeroy, and Madeline Lee as Hannah. Also appearing were Joan Shea and Mimi Ayers. Produced by Alan Potter. Directed by Dick Cox. Written by Margaret LaWorth. And brought to you by Daytrill, the new non-aspirin pain reliever from Bristol-Myers. This is Mel Brandt. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. The Author's Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Final Net Non-Aerosol Hair Mist, a sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
Gentlemen, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, as the case may be. That's quite lost track of time, writing Vanity Fair here at my desk for your edification. Mr. Charles Dickens scoffs at the notion that I lose myself in my story. Well, let him. It is fact. And now we shall get on with it. Two coaches pass on a certain high road. In one, the Reverend Bute Crawley bound for London to perform, he believes, the last rites for his dying sister. In the other, Becky Sharp bound for Queen's Crawley. The Reverend gentleman looks back, peering curiously.
Dear me, that young woman did look like, like Rebecca Sharp. Oh, no, 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 no. She'd not be on Queen's Crawley Road. Oh. Married to Rawdon Pipsett. Oh. Wed to my profligate nephew. Not very wise. Wisdom is better than rubies. Proverb, eh? 4-5? Or is it 5-4? Oh, dear, dear, dear. I grow forgetful. May the Lord forgive me.
In the other carriage... must interrupt. Have I mentioned I am William Makepeace Thackeray, author of this somewhat distracted novel? I haven't, eh? Well, now I have. In the other carriage...
Giles, did you see? The Reverend Bute Crawley. His shabby old carriage, I'm sure. Mrs. Bute has sent for him to stay with Miss Crawley. Oh, now it's certain she'll journey to Chiswick and ask her nasty questions about me. Oh, I pray Mrs. Rickett tells her not one word of truth.
Becky's carriage arrives first at its destination. Giles has been deposited in Mudbury to visit her mother, six little brothers, uncounted cousins, and oh dear knows who else. When Becky steps down from her coach, by great good luck, Sir Pitt is nearby. Hark, how fast Becky will chatter, lest at sight of her his rage at her marriage overcomes any joy at seeing her.
Becky, it is you, is it? Can't hardly believe my eyes.
Oh, I believe mine. How beautiful Queen's Crawley looks.
Be it you've thrown over me, worthless son, and come back where you belong.
Oh, yes, to half your question. Oh, I do feel at home here. Do you remember when first I came, how we walked through the great doors into the great hall? Oh, never had I seen anything like it before. Oh, come, let us cross the terrace and go in. I long to see it again.
The doors be locked.
Oh, shout! Bang the knocker, anything, a servant will open. Oh, no, look! They open without a single bang or knock or shout. It's Horrocks opening! Ah, thank you, Horrocks. May I take your arm, Sir Pitt?
Do as you like. Why be you here?
Why, I've come to call. Would you rather I'd not? No, 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 don't answer. I don't want to hear if the answer is no. Good day to you, Horrocks.
Welcome back, Miss Rebecca.
Thank you, thank you. Oh, my. The hall is
bigger than even I remember.
Hush! Close the damn doors! Keep the winter out of here!
Yes, sir.
You've put down a great long carpet. Our footsteps don't echo on the stones anymore.
Winter!
They echoed that first day whilst we walked to yonder fireplace big enough to roast an ox. Do you recollect what you asked me?
It may be I do, it may be I don't.
I recollect.
What bedchamber will you have, Miss Sharp? Here's your choice of 40, or be it 42.
42 bedchambers?
How'd you fancy the one where Queen Bess slept?
You're teasing me.
She did sleep here, did? Tis why the place be called Queen's Crawley.
I mean, you're teasing me that it could possibly be my room.
Not a bit of it. Ha ha! Here, you'd like it, would you? Tis yours.
And it was mine. You do remember. I see you do.
Don't want to remember. You left it. Took yourself off.
But I've come back. Would you rather I'd not? Do you want me to go? Oh, you do. I'm most awfully sorry, Sir Pitt. I truly believed you'd be as glad to see me as I you. Instead, it's not the way once it was with us. Goodbye, then, to you and Queen's Crawley.
Not glad to see you. Be that what you think? So gladdened I can't open my mouth to speak it. You've brought spring into this cold, dead place that's not had life in it since you were gone. You were a dream that passed by. An old baronet walkened and knew you for only a dream. Now you're real again. You're here. Becky Sharp stands in the great hall and, tis a gladsome thing.
Thus spake Sir Pitt to Becky Sharp. Let us shortly hear how Mrs. Bute speaks of Becky Sharp. Yes, good listeners? Yes.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Final Net sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Final Net is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Final Net go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Final Net, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
The Reverend Bute Crawley at the door of the house in Park Lane, London, lifts the knocker and lets it descend with proper decorum not to disturb the dying within.
Bute!
Oh, Martha, am I here in time?
Oh, how quick you came! Come in, come in.
Oh, glory be, I am in time. Well, I'll not stop to take off my coat. Hurry upstairs to my poor sister. I have my Bible here and ready.
The very idea. You'll not hurry upstairs to Matilda. I've half a hundred things to tell you first.
Oh, there's time for delay. She'll not slip off whilst we talk.
Slip off where? How could she? What on earth are you gabbling about?
Why, slip off to heaven. Oh, and may the Lord rest her soul.
Good gracious, Matilda's ill, but she's not dying.
Not?
I should hope not. She's not yet altered her will.
Pray, why did you send for me then?
Do you know of Rawdon's marriage to that hussy of a Sharp?
Only Pitt told me only this day.
And told you Matilda has cast them off?
Ah, so... Wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Matthew 12.
The shock has made her very ill. I am caring for her. Scarce have I closed my eyes since my arrival.
Oh, you might have written me all this, Mrs. Bute.
I've no time for such trivialities. Warden has disgraced himself and his family, but I greatly fear she'll take him back to her bosom, and that vixen along with him, though I've said all I could of that odious pair.
Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do with all thy might. Ecclesiastes 9.
I've done with all my might. 'Tis not enough. Tomorrow I go to learn more of Rebecca's shocking past. You are to stay here and guard Matilda so that neither of them can reach her side.
Oh, but Matilda does not like me about. She'll...
Do stop fretting and quoting and wringing your hands. She's not herself. You'll be safe from her tongue lashings. If you've a head on your shoulders, you can be useful.
Oh, indeed. Indeed. My poor sister needs spiritual as well as medical consolation.
Urge her to do her duty. Cast off forever her reprobate nephew. Alter her will. Induce her to do justice to you and me.
A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Proverb 25.
Oh, do hush, Bute. Save all those words for Matilda. And when I return tomorrow night, I shall bring words of tarnished gold and silver about Miss Baseborn Rebecca Sharp.
Oh, what a happy arrangement that so good a reverend gentleman will bring peace to the poor ailing lady upstairs. Or will he? Return, dear listeners, if you would know. Until the morrow, I am your obliged servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
Say, did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Ban Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays will give you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Ban Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Ban Roll-On, so economical, yet so effective.
I know we share everything, Hud, but next time, could you keep your cold to yourself?
This was your cold day. You sneezed first.
You were sniffling before that. Think of the money we spend on nasal sprays.
That's why I bought 4-way nasal spray today. It can cost a lot less than the leading brand, a lot less.
Yeah?
And you can't buy faster decongestant relief than 4-way. Here, just follow the directions.
Hey, that's a blast.
I know. I bought 4-way for me, too. And think how much we can save on 4-way with all the colds you get.
You mean all the colds you give me?
The Author Studio has been brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the Comedy of Errors at the Baxters. On the Little Things in Life. Brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol.
Mr. Baxter?
Yes, I did, Miss Perkins. Is there a tape recorder around the office somewhere?
Oh, yes, I believe there's one in the sales department.
Oh, fine. I want to borrow it. Take it home tonight.
Oh, I don't think Mr. Billings likes it to go out of the office. One of the salesmen took it home one night, and Mr. Billings was very unpleasant about it. But perhaps if you want it...
Miss Perkins, I have every confidence in your ability to persuade Mr. Billings to let me borrow it for one night.
I think I can manage it, Mr. Baxter.
Yeah, I thought it'd be nice if my family and I sent a tape to Aunt Maggie. Cheer her up while she's lying there in the hospital.
Oh, yes, in fact, that reminds me. I wanted to ask you for her address in Montana. I just wrote her a letter.
Oh, did you? Well, that's very nice of you, Miss Perkins.
Would you like me to read it to you?
No, that's not necessary.
Oh, I'd like to read it to you to make sure I said the right thing.
I'm sure you did, Miss Perkins. How could you say the wrong thing?
Just the same, I'd like to read it to you. I just wrote it this morning. Oh, I didn't write it on office time, Mr. Baxter.
Oh, Miss Perkins, really, I didn't...
No, I would never write a personal letter on office time. I came in a half an hour early to work this morning so I could use the office typewriter, which I hope was all right.
Oh, yes, of course. Look, just get me the tape recorder.
I'll get the letter. It's right here on my desk.
Miss Perkins, you do not have to read me the letter you wrote my Aunt Maggie. First of all, it's none of my business. And secondly, I'm due at a meeting in 5 minutes, which is why I asked you to get me the tape recorder, because I'm late. And furthermore...
This will take a second, Mr. Baxter.
Okay. All right. I'm sure anything you said is fine.
Dear Miss Sorensen, I can't tell you what a shock it was to hear you'd return to Montana only to fall and break your hip. And I hope it won't be long before you'll have more than one leg to stand on. I thought that might be rather amusing. You know the expression, doesn't have a leg to stand on.
Well,
this is just a little variation on it. Did you get it?
Yes, I got it.
I just wanted to make sure you felt it was all right to put a little humor in my letter. I mean, she is in the hospital, so I wondered...
Miss Perkins, it's fine.
Your Aunt Maggie always enjoys a good laugh.
Yeah. Your letter is fine. Now, look, if you'd be good enough to
then
try to...
Then I went on about what I was doing. Then I said, I do sympathize with your being in the hospital. It's so dreadful to be sick. Since you left, I've had 2 terrible colds, so my sinus is acting up again, and the doctor said it might have something to do with my bursitis and my back, which has not been good at all lately. My mother had her gallbladder removed 2 weeks ago.
Miss Perkins, when somebody's lying in the hospital... Now, wait a minute. You asked my opinion about the letter. Well, I just meant, if somebody's in the hospital, isn't it better to write a cheerful letter?
Oh, this is a cheerful letter. I went on to say that Mother's doing fine and that I never complain. Why, I was just writing your Aunt Maggie the news. I'm certainly not complaining.
Okay, fine. The letter is great. Very humorous. Now, do you want to get me the tape recorder from the sales department?
Yes, Mr. Baxter. Oh, I put a P.S. on the letter from my dog, Cupid. Woof, woof, woof. Get well, Aunt Maggie. Love, Cupid. Then I drew a picture of a little paw print.
That's adorable, huh? Miss Perkins, get me the tape recorder, please.
No, I'm not going to talk on the tape, Bob. I'm not. You know I don't like that sort of thing. I get nervous and I'm so embarrassed.
Nervous? It's just us, Peg.
No, I don't care. I get all flustered. I'm not good at that sort of thing. I don't like it.
Oh, Mother, come on. Don't be silly.
It's ridiculous. Now, come
on. Will you let go? Let go of me, will you?
What's the matter with you? You just have to talk into the microphone. That's all.
I don't know what to say. Quit dragging me, Bob. Now, just cut it out.
Oh, for Pete's sake. You're not auditioning for a Broadway play. You're just saying hello to Aunt Maggie. Here she is, lying in the hospital in Montana with a broken leg, and I should think you'd want to do something to cheer her up. Let her know that you're thinking of her.
I have written to her every single day.
A letter is not the same thing. You and Debbie and I will just talk. Casually?
You and Debbie can talk. I mean, since it doesn't bother you, but I...
Well, why should
it
bother you? Well, I don't get it. You're just being silly.
All right, I'm being silly, but I don't like talking into a tape recorder. First of all, I don't like my voice.
Oh.
It doesn't sound like me at all. It really doesn't. I mean, I know my voice isn't like that.
Mom, nobody likes his voice when he hears it on a tape. I don't like mine either.
Oh, for the love of Mike, this is just for Aunt Maggie. She knows our voices. She's not going to sit there listening and criticize.
Look, it's a fool I made of myself at Evie and Fred's party that time. Everybody else talked into the tape, and they were funny and amusing and witty, and they were so relaxed, and I was just awful.
Oh, Peg, everybody was just having fun with their new tape recorder.
No, I wasn't having fun. I hated doing it. I couldn't think of anything to say, and then they played it back, and I hated my voice, and I sounded like an idiot. And when we got home, you made fun of me, too. You did.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. But you just acted so silly the way you're doing right now.
You said I was a poor sport.
Well, you were. It wasn't that important, just the same way this isn't important.
Well, if it isn't important, then stop fussing. You and Debbie do it. You like doing it. I don't. I mean, I just get all... No, nervous. And
you know, you have got some of the silliest hang-ups I ever heard. And you can at least say hello, if nothing else. Now, come on. Would somebody please tell me why they make tape recorders these days so it takes a full-fledged engineer to run one?
No, Daddy, Dad, just calm down.
Well, there ought to be one button to push and one button to stop it.
Here, let me see the instruction manual, Dad.
Yeah, just a minute. I'm trying to find out where it says how to record. Oh, look at this booklet. 22 pages.
That's just because it's also printed in Spanish and French, Daddy.
What's the matter? Can't you get it to work?
It doesn't play back. Debbie and I talked for 10 minutes, and when I went to play it back, nothing.
Well, I think I'll go on.
Stay right here. Don't go running up and locking yourself in the bathroom again. You are going to say something to Aunt Maggie.
You've got it all hooked up right, Daddy. See what it says about playing it back.
Okay, just a second. Turn level control 1 clockwise. Yeah, that causes the pointer of the left-hand VU meter to deflect.
Daddy, there. Read this. You didn't turn up the volume in the balance control after we recorded.
Yeah, sure. Well, come on, let's try it.
Just thought we'd sit here in the den, Aunt Maggie, and talk to you.
Hey, that's great.
For no reason, Peg has gotten all kittenish about this. Mike fright for no reason. She's going upstairs and locked herself in the bathroom.
Oh, why did you say that on the tape?
We'll try to drag her down and just say hello at least, and then we'll all just sit here and tell you what we've been doing since you left us and how much we miss you. So now I'll just turn this over to Debbie for a minute to say hello.
Hello, Aunt Maggie. But I think Daddy should check first and see if this is recording because the needle isn't moving, Daddy.
Oh, I know what you mean, Mom. I hate my voice, too.
Okay, now I'll start it again, and this time, Peg.
I don't know why you do this to me, really.
Honey, relax. It's just us. Now, I'm going to press the start button, so just say hello to Aunt Maggie. At least say hello. Okay.
Is it on?
Yes. It's recording. Yep. Go on. Aunt Maggie, here's Peg.
Hello, Aunt Maggie. How are you?
Don't yell. Just talk in your normal voice and relax.
If you're going to criticize, I'm not going to do this at all.
Go on. The tape is rolling.
Aunt Maggie, I know what I forgot to write you about. The slip covers finally came and they were all wrong. Well, I called the department store. I must have talked to a dozen people. I was so mad. Finally, I got the manager of the upholstery department, if you remember him, and he said, yes, Mrs. Baxter, is there something wrong? And I said, is there something wrong? I said, first of all... first of all, it's not the same fabric I picked out at all. And he said, now, you may remember which one he was, Aunt Maggie. He was the tall, with sort of stick-out ears. And I said, Mr. McPherson, I selected the green and gold with that tiny fleck of black. And he said, what are you laughing at?
Nothing.
What is it?
Go on, you're doing fine.
I said that I've been shopping at this store for a good many years, Mr. McPherson. And I said, it seems to me that when my
listen
aunt was
to your mother,
I picked out this fabric.
She wouldn't even say hello, and now we'll never shut her up.
And I said, now, you remember, Aunt Maggie,
boy, this is difficult.
Hi, I'm the teacher, and that's Roland Gibbs on drums. He drew my picture last week with gray hair. Me, with 11 grays. I gave hair coloring a second thought. I found out about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, doesn't change my natural color, and it's good for my hair. Loving Care covered my grays and made my hair softer and shinier. Gotta give the kid credit.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair. This is your roving reporter, about to interview a nose.
How do I look?
You're not on TV, Nose. This is for radio.
How do I sound?
Pretty stuffy. Why don't you use four-way nasal spray?
Is four-way the leading brand?
Not yet, Nose.
Then why should I use it?
Because you can't buy faster decongestant relief than four-way nasal spray. And four-way can cost a lot less than the leading brand. A lot less. Here, just follow the directions.
Hey, that's a blast. You can interview me now.
Thanks, Nose, but I just did.
The Little Things in Life, created by Peg Lynch, has been brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant relief possible. This program program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Daytrill, the new non-aspirin pain reliever from Bristol-Myers.
But Mom, Janie Sexton doesn't want the lead in the play. She said so.
That's not what her mother said.
All I know is what she told me.
Maybe she's just trying to be a good sport about it. I think she really wants it.
Mom, I can't drop out now. We've had a week of rehearsals.
I'm sure if you explained, Miss Hirons.
Mom, I look like such a dope.
Miss Hirons didn't use good judgment in the first place.
She says I'm good in it. Really, she does.
There'll be other plays. Next year, you can try them.
It doesn't make any sense.
It does to me.
Mom, did Mrs. Sexton ask you to do this?
Of course not. She wouldn't do that.
Then why do you think you have to?
You just don't understand, Betsy. Mr. Sexton is an important man.
I don't care. Big deal.
Will you listen to me? He's on the board at Jefferson Hospital, and he can be very helpful to your father.
Daddy doesn't care about that.
He will if Mr. Sexton decides not to support something your father wants, like new equipment, for instance.
Mom, please don't ask me to do this.
Oh, Betsy, dear, how can it be so important? You aren't going to be an actress. And Mrs. Sexton says
Janie doesn't want it. It's all her mother's idea. Why won't you both leave us alone?
Betsy, if you feel you really won't give this up, then I think you need the discipline of a private school.
No, Mom, you can't do that. It's unfair.
I understand Betsy's going to be great in the school play, Marsh.
Yes, I saw a bit of the rehearsal the other night. She really is good, Emily.
Am I finished now? These examinations are trying. I hope you don't want to take any more blood.
No. That's it for now.
Well, what do they show?
I haven't had a chance to go over them carefully.
Oh, Marsh, after all this time, do you think you still have to stall?
All right, Emily. The tumor's a little larger.
Oh.
Well, that doesn't mean anything very drastic right now.
You mean it can get still larger?
Yes, or it can stop growing for an almost indefinite period of time.
I see. All right, I'll get my dress on.
Fine. I'll see you in my office.
Well, now what do? I guess all the time I really thought it would go away by itself.
Would you please page Dr. Carter for me? Thank you.
Dr. Carter,
Marge? Oh, come in, Angela. Emily's in the examining room.
Oh, I'll come back later.
No, I've just finished. The tumor has grown slightly, but no other changes. Why don't you go in to see her?
It doesn't sound very positive.
Well, it isn't, but it's not immediately significant. Are you going home soon?
Yes.
Is it all right if I stop by?
Well, yes, of course it is. I'll go in and see Emily.
Yes, of course. Hey, wait a minute.
What is it?
Mm.
Oh, Marsh. Anybody could walk in.
Just needed a little reassurance.
Don't we all?
Better see if I can find Jason.
Oh, Marsh, I was just coming in to see you.
Yes, and I've been looking for you.
Shall we go into your office?
Well, Emily may be in there. Let's talk out here.
What is it, Marsh?
The chordoma has enlarged. A very small amount, Jason.
Oh. I guess we were hoping for at least a halt.
So, no. Tumors can do that, and it can still happen for Emily.
Does she know?
Yes, I told her. Angela's with her now.
I see. And we continue with the medication?
Yes, Jason. That's all we can do now.
years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Shut up, old kid.
5 minutes, Claus.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh.
Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with Final Net. Final Net is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Final Net holds up longer than you do. As anyone knows, hair is only as beautiful as the condition it's in. Natural Wear Miss Clairol shampoo formula conditions while it colors, makes your hair healthy looking and manageable while it adds natural glowing color that covers gray. And it's so easy to use. Just shampoo it in for fresh young color that stays color true week after week. For conditioning hair color, the best it can be, at any price, Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be.
I've been thinking, Jason. After I saw Marsh today,
Yes.
Well, I don't know how much time there is.
Oh, Emily, don't.
Now, darling, please don't make it harder for me.
All right.
We know I might go on for years and years, but... Well, if the tumor's growing, it's not a good sign.
Well, honey, it can stop. They usually do.
I know. Marsh told me that, too, but let's be sensible.
What do you want to do?
I've been doing some reading. And, you know... Well, of course, you would know. There's been an increased interest in what they call therapy for the dying.
Oh, Em, that's not for you.
Well, darling, why not?
It isn't that you're confined to bed.
That has nothing to do with it. Now, look, you know I've been keeping a diary. And while it's a lot of rambling about myself and everything, I realize there are so many questions about dying, Jason, and they certainly don't have answers for everything. And yet still, people are coming together to find out.
Now, darling, you have time.
Let's stop kidding ourselves. If I have time, I should make some plans. And if I stay around for a long while, well, that'd be fine, but let me find out more about what I need to know.
Darling, that's for terminal patients.
Darling... We don't know how terminal I am. Come on in, darling.
Oh, it's so good to be here.
Mm. Let me hang up your coat, Marge.
Mm, thank you. Well... It's great to be home.
Darling.
It is home, you know. More than...
Come on, I'll fix us a drink.
I want to call my service.
You didn't tell them where you are, did you?
No, I just said I'd stay in touch. Did you have a chance to talk to Emily?
Not much. Jason came in right after you left.
Oh, yes. Hello, this is Dr. Foster. All right. No, you can't reach me right now. I'll call you. Yes, that's fine.
Do you have any critical patients?
No, fortunately. For them and for us. I don't have a worry in the world.
Daddy won't let you do it, Mom. He won't. He won't.
Bessie, I know you're upset, but now you just calm down,
please. I'm going to call him. There's no need for that. He's the only one who cares about me.
Bessie, you're old enough to know that you can't always have what you want.
Hello? Where's Dr. Foster? Oh, you don't know. All right, tell him his daughter wants to talk to him. Yes, it's very important. Almost six.
Morning or evening?
Evening, silly.
Well, it's hard to tell about time when I'm with you. Someday it will be 6 a.m.
And there will be a lot of explaining to do.
Or none at all. As soon as I can, I'm going to talk to Ginger.
Oh, Marsh, please don't rush this. And remember, there is Betsy.
I know.
Betsy, call Mrs. Hirons and tell her you're giving up the part.
I won't.
Betsy?
I'm going to rehearsal and you can't stop me.
You're asking for trouble.
I'm going to try again to reach Daddy.
There's no need to bother him at the hospital. He should have been home by now. He might have an emergency.
Please, Daddy. Please.
Betsy?
Oh, hello. Have you heard from Dr. Foster? Oh. No, this is his daughter again. All right, thank you.
Now, listen, Betsy.
I'm going to rehearsal.
Betsy?
I have to be there. I can't just not show up.
Oh, where is Marsh? I hope he's all right.
If you take Tylenol instead of aspirin for headache, now you can get the exact same relief with Daytrill and get a dollar refund besides. Buy Daytrill in the 100 or 250 tablet size, and Bristol-Myers will refund you $1. Send name, address, and Daytrill carton to Daytrill, Box 836, Farmingdale, New York, 11735. And get a dollar back. Offer good on one bottle only. Expires April 30th, 1976. So try Daytrill now and get a dollar back.
If I had a nickel for every minute I've spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, oh, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
To Have and to Hold has been brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.